Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning and welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program. I should say good afternoon for those listening in the Eastern time zone. For the rest of the country, it's good morning. Welcome back. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and you're listening to American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl now joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
And how are you doing, sir?
It's a good day. I just had a piece of pizza.
A piece of pizza?
A piece of pizza.
Pizza? Yeah, we're serving.
Yeah, that's it. Go ahead, guys. We're with the little fake Italian accent, and everyone looks at me.
It's radio. Nobody knew that we were looking at you. It's radio.
I had a piece of pizza.
Piece of pizza.
And a couple of meatballs.
Yes,
go ahead. Have fun.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Ed's a little on the edge about this ethnic stereotyping thing.
All right.
So just be aware of that.
Okay.
So avoid words like lasagna. Mafia,
okay.
Things like that.
Or at least if someone mentions the word mafia, don't look at me.
Yeah, Godfather, things like that. Don't, yeah. And don't call him the little brother.
Okay.
What was that little brother's name?
Fredo?
Oh, Fredo.
No, don't call him Fredo.
No, he's not a Fredo.
But now you can serve me Alfredo.
Oh, yeah. He owns it when he wants to.
Yeah,
that's right.
Duly noted. Alfredo is outstanding to the taste buds. All right, Steve, what do you got?
All right, there's a couple of update things that are breaking right now. Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson has said that today he informed the governor of Georgia, that he was going to be resigning at the end of the year.
He's a U.S. senator?
He's a U.S. senator, Republican from Georgia.
How long has he been around?
He's been around for a while. Isaacson?
I'm not familiar with him.
Me either.
Johnny Isaacson, he's been in for a bit. He is resigning because of health issues. His Parkinson's disease is progressing, and he just had surgery to remove a growth on his kidney. So
he wanted to be with his family, right?
Well, no, this is different. Well, I don't know.
You know, because
he didn't say that. He said he was retiring for health reasons.
Yeah,
he's a relatively quiet senator because you don't hear much from.
He's not often out front as a spokesperson for things, but his vote is reliable.
Yeah. Of course, that Georgia is primarily a Republican state in terms of statewide elections, but they've been getting closer. Over there, so he's not going to run again.
He's resigning from the Senate.
74 years old. Well,
and Stacey Abrams, the candidate for the governorship that just lost barely in 2018 and made all kinds of a fuss.
She'll probably run.
She's saying she's not going to run against.
She's not.
She's not going to run for that seat. She has another project where she's going to try to make sure Democrats.
She wants to be somebody's vice president. I think
Stacey.
Mm, Abram.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but she's working on a project, she says, that's a voter registration project to make sure Democrats take back the Senate, take back in various states, get to
She would be a formidable candidate there.
She could probably win.
Yeah, it would be close, probably.
Well, the letter of resignation was today, and her tweet was today, so who knows? In a week, if she's had a chance to think about it, she could. The other thing that we're following is this tropical storm Dorian, which is set to hit Puerto Rico. It's right now a tropical storm. They expect by the time it possibly makes landfall in Florida, on the east coast of Florida, it could be a Category 2 hurricane by then. So,
well, Puerto Rico doesn't need any more.
They do
storms.
Not.
Oh, man. Huh?
They do
That's
not.
That's true.
That they haven't recovered from the
two years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, right? when was that?
Well, President Trump was president.
Yeah.
Right. So it's got to be the last two years.
So it looks like it'll still be a tropical storm over Puerto Rico, which is good, not a hurricane, but Puerto Rico. You see, I could do a multitude of accents.
Yeah, but you know what?
Fake accents.
With these storms, hurricanes or a tropical storm, once you cross the 70 mile an hour sustained winds. Mm-hmm. that's when it becomes a Category 1 hurricane, right? Mm-hmm. But still, if it's 50-mile-an-hour winds or 60-mile-an-hour winds, but the problem is the deluge of rain that comes in and causes all the massive flooding. That's
right.
That's more damaging oftentimes than the winds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's at 60 miles an hour now and gaining.
It's hurricane season. So anyway, by the way, Steve, do you know much about these Amazon forest fires?
I've been hearing things about them. The Amazon, of course, is the largest jungle on Earth, and some people have described it as the lungs of the country, where all the oxygen we get comes from.
The world.
There are a lot of fires burning, but what I'm hearing is most of them are not forest fires that
they're
accidentally
natural.
They're not natural, even. They're farmers that are burning land, which is what they do. I grew up in a third world country in Africa, and every time, I guess it was about this year, I was probably, this is in the southern hemisphere, so I don't remember what time of year, but they would go on a rag and they'd burn their fields, and it puts nitrogen back in the ground, and they thought it was the way to do it.
Clears out the growth that you...
If you're going to change crops,
these people can't go out with weed eaters and,
right.
weed eat, 50 acres.
Right. So, but it is a common practice in third world countries of burning land, and that's apparently what's going on in Brazil.
But you hear some people saying, world's going to run out of oxygen because of these fires in the Amazon or something. I have heard from that it is a big source. That is all the forestation in South America, namely the Amazon rainforest region, that does provide.
Well, plant life produces oxygen.
Yeah.
By the way, that poison that everybody is putting in the air is plant food, CO2. Everybody's saying that's the global warming thing. We kill off all that. Plants die.
Carbon emissions is plant food.
Yeah.
They take carbon dioxide, plants do. They breathe it in. I'm just using that as a kind of a metaphor. They breathe it in and they exhale oxygen.
That's right.
That's what plants do.
And so everybody that's talking about all this carbon stuff,
that's all an accident.
It's plant
though.
Food. It's
that's
not poison.
That's all an accident of evolution.
It's plant food. It's not poison.
What we need to breathe, plants exhale.
It is an accident.
Yes.
It's a lucky accident. We're lucky mud, after all.
Yes, lucky mud. That's right.
There you go.
Right out of the ooze, the primordial ooze.
All right, what else you got?
All right. this one of the squad is, let's say she's...
They need their own band.
They do.
And travel around.
Yeah,
you know. What I'm saying?
Maybe one of the first covers they could sing is "Heartbreaker."
They could have. Okay. They could have a
heartbreaker.
A cartoon like Scooby Doo.
They could.
Is that Pat Benatar?
That is Pat Benatar. The reason I bring it up is because Ilhan Omar.
I know my 70s and 80s music.
Right.
Don't try to fool me.
Wasn't trying to fool you, but
no, I know.
Representative Omar has. Is named prominently in the divorce papers of a D.C. consultant. His wife, the D.C. consultant's wife, filed papers saying, "My husband is having an affair with Ilhan Omar, the Democrat congresswoman from Minnesota." And in fact, now we learn that she's being charged with violating campaign finance law by using campaign funds to pursue this affair with the guy's name is Tim Minette. That's according to a complaint that's been filed with the Federal Election Commission today. So
now
she's in trouble, and she's...
The Congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, has denied it, but this is...
She
the
did
court.
Deny it?
She has denied that she is having an affair, because she's separated also, isn't she, from her husband?
She is.
So, and she divorced her first husband. I don't know what the laws are, religious laws in Islam for divorce and remarriage. Do you have any idea?
Well, I think at some point...
Is she a practicing Muslim?
Well, she wears
the hijab,
head covering.
The head covering. So,
that's cultural, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So as far as divorce laws, I don't know. I know that she felt comfortable enough either being outside of her faith and doing this or being allowed within her faith that the prevailing wisdom is that the first husband was actually, well, the second husband was actually a brother that she married simply to get him into the United States.
Is that true?
Evidence points that way. I'm not going to make a conclusive statement, yes or no, but evidence, a lot of evidence points that way. And then she remarried the first husband, which was a husband. Now she's separated from him and allegedly
that
having
next
an affair.
Next, after Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Right.
Keeping Up with Omar.
Ilhan Omar. Of Ilhan Omar.
All right, Steve.
So anyway, one
more. She said this is my personal life.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about it.
One more thing from the squad.
Did you hear that?
What's that?
She said this. She's basically saying this is my personal life, and I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, right. And then someone said in her defense, it shouldn't be anybody's business. To which I saw a tweet from somebody, and I agree with this tweet completely, which said, she made a ton of promises to her constituents when she went to Washington, when she campaigned. A string of promises, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. If she can violate her biggest promise ever to her husband, and if she can cause the violation of the biggest promise that her alleged lover has ever made to his wife, then if those promises mean nothing to her, then how good is her word on I'm going to cut your taxes, which isn't probably what she'd say.
Well, you could say the same thing about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You could.
Right.
The only difference between Donald Trump and this is that Donald Trump seems to have been following through with his words.
Yeah.
After the fact.
After the fact. And,
I'm just saying that now, President Trump's affairs took place decades ago.
Right.
In terms of his, that we know of, huh? Right?
Right.
So it's not like, that's different than a current situation. While you're in office, something is happening, which brings into question your judgment or your morality or things of that nature. But generally, I agree that, that people's personal lives, such as a divorce, for example, the public doesn't have to know all the gory details of that.
Or if they do, then everyone makes their own mind up as to whether they think that's good, bad, indifferent. Like to your point, Steve, maybe she's cheated on her husband, maybe she's breaking up this marriage, but I think she will do the things she promised. Who knows?
Yeah, and it's really up to the voters of her district to make the verdict on that kind of thing, unless it involves some kind of ethics or illegality.
Well, and here it might, because we've got the campaign
finance
charges. The other thing is the argument that we're making now is that the voters have a right to know about her character. No one's voting for your local mailman, or no one's voting for me or you. So what happens in our lives, I think we have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But for elected official, if the issue is character, I want to know if my elected official has been charged with robbery, for example, in the past or whatever. Maybe it does. Maybe it's relevant. Beto O'Rourke has been speaking.
Who is he now?
Oh, he has. I got a couple clips I want to play from Beto. Beto was on a stump speech the other day. And
this is what I think it is. This is going to be hard for our listeners to take, but we got it. We got to go here.
Well,
we
got to
peer into the abyss. Okay.
I got two, yes.
He hasn't dropped out yet?
No, still pushing. Still pushing.
Trying to get above one?
Well, he must, two, but I don't know how statements like this can help him. This is him talking to a crowd. I'll just let you play it. Cut two.
With the people of Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador, reduce violence in their home communities. Violence which we are somewhat to blame for, the civil wars that we've been involved in, the drug trade that we facilitated, the war on drugs that has militarized and hollowed out their civic institutions in their home countries. And Guatemala, suffering one of the greatest droughts in their recorded history, caused not by God nor by Mother Nature, but by you and me and all of us in our omissions and our excesses and our inaction in the face of the facts and the science and the truth.
There you go.
I got a Scooby-Doo right there. What in the world?
We are responsible.
So who's we?
Americans.
I'm not.
Yeah. Well, you drive.
I'm not responsible for drug violence in Guatemala. I mean, I'm responsible for a lot of things. I didn't trim the hedges right. Okay. we don't have hedges. That's a bad example. But I mean, what is this more social justice?
This is collective guilt. It may not be you individually.
Virtue signaling.
All of us together. We've weaponized these countries so they can go after illegal drugs that Americans are buying.
Okay, then that's true with problems all over the world.
I make sure
somebody else.
I make sure my illegal drugs are locally sourced. Just so you know.
What? No,
you didn't even kid about that.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
it is a
don't
joke.
Know who's listening.
It is a joke. Hey, but here's the other thing about what he just said. If we are responsible for the violence and the weather catastrophes and everything that's going down in Central America, then we have a responsibility to let these people cross over into our country and to take them in. This is the source of their open borders mania, I think it could be argued.
You know, you had poverty in Central America forever, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have it forever.
Right. Just like everywhere else.
Everywhere else, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, every country has poor people.
Yeah, but they got a lot of them.
Well, that's true. Their economies are not the strongest, except for places like Brazil.
Yeah,
it's very strong.
But most
Venezuela,
but a lot of places in the world, and I don't mean to sound empathetic, to the plight of poor people. The Bible tells us to care about the poor, right?
Right.
To help them. However, many places in the world are in poverty, and will stay in poverty because their governments are corrupt. And they have a socialistic view of wealth. And they don't value education. And so they stay in huts. And, you know, I've asked many missionaries and people who go on mission trips to these undeveloped countries, third world countries in many cases. And I say, okay, you're going to go back. You're going to this place, and you're going to provide a clean water system, and you're going to build some what we would call shacks, and you're going to give them some clothes, right? And you're going to have Bible studies. These are all wonderful things, wonderful gestures of love for people in the name of Jesus that need to be done, regardless of the future of these places or what led to the poverty. But I'll ask somebody, especially somebody who's experienced in traveling to these poor places, I'll say, do you think in 20 years you're going to be going back and doing the very same thing you're doing this year? Clean water, building shacks, giving clothes out, having Bibles, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they say, yes, it's never going to change because of the reasons I mentioned earlier in the program, and quite frankly, the lack of spread of Christianity, and I'm talking about true biblical Christianity, not the socialist Christianity that so many on the left promote,
like liberation theology,
and those type of things. There you go.
Let me play another shot from Beto here. He was cornered. He was doing the stump speech, and somebody came up and asked him a question, and it cornered him on the issue of abortion. This is cut one.
And someone asked you specifically about third trimester abortions, and you said that it's a decision left up to the mother. So my question is this. I was born September 8th, 1989, and I want to know if you think on September 7th, 1989, my life had no value.
Of course I don't think that, and of course I'm glad that you're here, but you referenced my answer in Ohio, and it remains the same. This is a decision that neither you nor I nor the United States government should be making. That's a decision for the woman to make. We want her to have the best possible access to care and to a medical provider. And I'll tell you the consequence of this attack on women's right to choose. And I listened to you, and I heard your question. I'm answering it. And the attack on Roe versus Wade, which we thought was the settled law of the land, and lest we had any illusion that the achievements that we've made are protected forever, or that progress is inevitable, that has been shattered right now.
It was a good question. It was a fair question. And he said, I'm glad you're here, but no, my answer hasn't changed.
Apparently. Yeah, but he said, of course not. In other words, he double spoke there.
Yeah.
He said, the guy said, do you think my life had any more, less value the day before, the day after?
Well, he said, did my life have value the day before I was born?
Yes, the day before I was born. And anyway, he was trying to double speak there. He was double speaking, Beto O'Rourke. And they don't want, the Democrats, they want to talk about abortion in terms of choice, health care, and man, who doesn't get a cheer when they say that, right? That's not for the government to decide. That's for the woman, between a woman and her doctor. Well, we're not talking about, you know, how to treat a rash
right
here. That's what they never introduce. They never introduce the child, the unborn baby. If they do that, then they know they lose the moral argument.
Right.
Because it's interesting, though. Have you guys watched these television commercials having to do with, you know how you get all kind of medicines that are advertised on TV?
Yeah.
Well, I was listening to one the other day, and they said, check with your doctor before taking, you know, they always give
these. If you're pregnant?
They always give these. No, they said that it could cause harm to your unborn baby.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, those kind of internal contradictions exist all the time. Nobody ever comes up to a woman who's, you know, 6 months pregnant and says, oh, do you know what your baby is? Or, I mean, do you know what your fetus is? Or when is the birth of your fetus?
Right. Nobody, you know, says that.
Nobody says, say baby.
Right.
Right.
Everyone,
we all know
that.
It's a baby.
We all know it's a baby. Beto O'Rourke knows it's a baby.
He wants to pretend because he doesn't want to use the language,
right,
the proper language that introduces the idea to somebody that, killing an unborn baby, that is wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a natural inclination that everybody has, unless you can change the language where you sanitize it, you know.
That's true.
So we got a minute and a half left.
All right. Let's see. The portraits hanging on walls inside of various academic institutions where they honor, there's medical schools where they honor Nobel Prize laureates and some winners of a Lasker Award. But someone noticed that they're all white men usually.
Where is this?
At various universities around. It started at the Louis Brandeis Family Amphitheater at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. They had to take all of those pictures down because they weren't representative enough. They weren't diverse enough. In other words, they didn't have any women or black Nobel Prize winners at that school. But the wall.
This is Brandeis University?
It's in Boston. It's Brigham and Women's Hospital in
from
Boston.
There.
I've never heard of that.
Why don't you go straighten them out?
Do they feel better now?
They must, because the the walls
good.
Are
good
blank.
All right. Well, don't paint it white.
Yeah, for sure.
Good night. Huh?
I know.
I hope people are getting sick of this. Well, we know folks on the left aren't. They just
still
keep
happening.
Yeah. We just keep going on and on and on with
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Thank Brent Creeley and Fred Jackson for their contributions to this program. Keep listening to AFR. We shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Take care.